three sinners. Nathan, our father.
Amen.
one was made in a few different ways. If God wants us to worship Him, He has a right, therefore, to instruct us in how we should be worshiping Him as well. So with that in mind, I wanted to quickly read from 1 Corinthians, starting in the 23rd verse. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in His blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So with that, let's keep in mind that Paul is accounting something that he received from Christ Himself about how Christ wanted to be worshipped. Is that what he had? Father, we come before you this morning, this period in our hour of worship, Father, to remember the death of Christ, specifically this emblem before us, the bread that represents His body, which was broken for our behalf. Well, we know that Christ had a great deal of love for us, more than the world was almost ever known, as it's already been pointed out. We pray that as we partake of this, we remember that the love that was there, and also the sacrifice that took to enable this. We know that these things will require that we might have a hope of escaping sin, that we might have a hope of joining you in heaven. All these things we ask. Father, we come to you the second time in prayer today. The cup before us, representative of Christ's blood, which was shed for us. Father, as we've come to understand that the blood of bulls and goats is not sufficient for the remission of sins, Father, but instead such a perfect sacrifice which is offered in the form of your Son. That's something that none of us could have met ourselves. Fallen short in some manner or another, but only Christ and Christ alone is the perfect life, which made Him fit for that purpose. Father, we pray that we can give heed to His words and the things that He left for us while He was on the earth, so that we might be able to continue the work that was left to us as Christians. We can do all these things looking back to Him, so that we are seeking to do that in the manner in which we should. That way, which is pleasing. These things we ask in the name of time. Amen.
say is I'm glad Keith didn't introduce me as the visiting preacher today. I'm a little bit late, but we're home for a while now, and it's good to be back home. Excited to tell everybody with the efforts of the funds for our building, the church here, the building cost $190,000, and the church could put $50,000, and with the $105,000 and the $5,000 down, that leaves us with, going great in that way, if you need to pray for it, and exciting time for us all. Good to have Kevin and Mary and the kids with us today, and good to have visitors and everyone here as we study the Word this morning. A couple of weeks ago, well, a little over a week ago before we left in the meeting, a couple of Lana came in, Debbie said, you wanted to talk to me? I said, don't talk to me, I got a sermon idea. So I ran to my office and wrote it down, and so I had a chance to develop that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to a familiar text, but I want us to read it and think about it for a few moments in Romans chapter 5. Romans, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. I'm going to go down through verse 11, 6 through 11 of Romans chapter 5. It says, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone wouldn't even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. Folks, there is a lot of religious confusion today. And much of it centers around God's love. And so we need to take just a few moments of this introductory remark to talk about God's love. And then we're going to talk about what it doesn't mean, which a lot of people seem to think it does. First of all, from what we've read here in talking about God's love and demonstrating it by sending his Son, without a doubt, this love cannot be duplicated. You even talk about some other religions. You can talk about their great prophet, Joseph Smith, within the Mormon religion. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about their great prophet and many others. But I'll tell you, this is the kind of love that nobody could ever equal. Leaving heaven, the Father sending his Son to die for us. What a great love that is. And what's also amazing is that you can never limit that love. You can never do anything so bad. Now you think about this. I don't care what immoral thoughts you might have, what immoral things you've done, what terrible things you didn't do. I was not a good person when I did this. I don't care what you've done. Nobody can say that God's going to say to me, that's it, I don't love you. Get that? You can't limit that love. It will never run out. Imagine never losing God's love. And of course, because of that, we need to understand, because of what we read, and I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 5, since you can't lose that love, you can never earn that love. You can't earn it. None of us can. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, we often quote. Well, let me back up verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. God loves all, evil and righteous alike. Did you get that? Evil and righteous alike. Some think that they are loved because of the wonderful things that they have done. No. No, God already loved them. Well, look at all the wonderful things I've done, and I've turned my life around. He already loved them. Do you get that? If you became a Christian, and you said, I'm gonna put on Christ in baptism, I'm gonna We need to think about that. But see, some people seem to think that, no, I have to earn that. You can't earn that love. No way. So I think that when we really understand that aspect of God's love, it can clear up some misunderstandings that a lot of people have. And you can see the confusion that exists out there because of what is being preached on TV and radio across the line. So knowing that God already loves us no matter what we've done, and you can be sitting in that seat right there and say, okay, I'm not a Christian, but tell me that God loves me just as much as he loves the person next to me. No matter what I've done? Yeah. So the rain falling on the just and the unjust means that, you know what, good things happen to bad things happen to good people, but even the bad people God loves. Tanner? So what do I need to understand? Well, John 3:16. Now, we read this all the time, but in light of what I just said, and I think that's a statement we need to remember, no matter what you do and what you become, God already loved you. You get that? So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Love does not remove sin. Point number one. It doesn't remove sin. That's why we tell people, whether you're in sin or out of sin, doesn't mean you're sinless, but you're not a servant of sin. Either one. God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. So nobody earned it, as we already mentioned. But it doesn't remove sin. The love in and of itself. He sent his Son so that you and I can have the forgiveness of sins. You and I can have the remission of sin. You guys ever see a billboard? There's a new billboard around here that I told Debbie the other day. And she might have it right. Better think her mind. And I tell you, it just said, God loves you. Actually, that might be Jesus. But I'm looking up at that and I'm saying, who put that up there? Thinking, well, maybe the company put it up there. That's just a film. I don't know. But anyway, possibly. But I'm thinking, well, that doesn't give anybody any real direction. Well, no, it tells them, you know, that the Lord loves them. Okay, the Lord loves you. Get that. Well, I that's why I spent the introductory remarks. God loves you. No matter what you've done, and even when you turn and follow him, he already loves you. But love in and of itself doesn't remove sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Sin will cost us our soul. But the religious realm just doesn't get it. You can have a bumper sticker that says God loves you. That's good for somebody. I get that it helps them to understand that it's a great love. Man, even in the bad things, the bad state I'm in, you're trying to tell me, Chuck, that God loves me? Yes. But you need to understand that Matthew 26:28, that Jesus shed his blood so that you can have the forgiveness of sin, the remission of sin. The love, in and of itself, doesn't remove a lick of sin. Doesn't remove anything. That's why Saul was told in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why it is that people seem to think that if God loves you, your life is okay, that's not the case. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so you can have somebody that is in sin, that has been blessed with physical things. And there are a lot of people that have been blessed with a lot of stuff. They have a lot of stuff. And so now they're saying, now Chuck, you're saying, so now you're telling me that God rains on me, and so I have a lot of stuff, and you're telling me, and he loves me. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. That's what the Bible says. You can have a lot of stuff, and God loves you. You can have nothing, and God still loves you. But the love doesn't remove sin, is the point. You say, well, why does he love you? Well, he just loves you. That's all. Romans chapter 5, while we were yet sinners. So he loves me. I don't get it. That's why it can't be duplicated. It can't be duplicated. It's just hard for me to imagine that people can be so evil and sin against God, sin against him, and God says, I still love you. How much? So much that nobody could ever imitate that. We've had people lay their life on the line for this country. They're dying for their country. That's a wonderful thing. Lay your life on the line for people who hate you. Put your life on the line for people who don't even care. Put your life on the line and die for people that you want to forgive. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I do know this much. The love of God doesn't mean those things. But I still need to understand that he loves me. It's good. You can't. I can't, obviously. The love can't, it cannot remove sin. And you know what? There's a separate point of that. Not only does it remove sin, but here's another thing people seem to think about God's love. They think it'll overlook sin. Because God loves me. God is going to overlook certain things in my life. Why? Because nobody's perfect, John. People use that argument all the time. And so I have to tell them, look, here's what he's telling you. But it ties in. It never, God's love doesn't overlook sin. Because 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so what that does, that helps the person understand out there, should clear it up rather than having the religious confusion. That should cause the person out there that is in sin, doesn't care about God. They need to understand in their own mind that the person over here who they know that claims to become a Christian, that isn't living like they should because they see inconsistency, that should help them to understand that God's love doesn't overlook that either. It's not going to cause this person to have his sins remitted. He says, oh, Chuck, I get that. I'm in sin. I haven't obeyed the gospel. Okay, God's love doesn't take that away from me. Oh, so you're telling me that the people who I know who are Christians, that God's love doesn't overlook sin in their life. Oh, that's better, because that's part of the confusion. Because if they get this idea in the religious realm where these people got to get up and talk about, you need God's love, and he's talking to the Christians there, and he's trying to tell the people that quote that are Christians and trying to tell them that God loves you, God understands, and he's going to overlook your sins, your shortcomings. That's not the case. He will not. He's not going to overlook my shortcomings. He's not going to overlook them. God's love doesn't do that. What's God's love? Now, in order to get me to go to heaven, he said, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die for you. We can have that reconciliation. Okay? And then you can pray through him once you're in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And Chuck, that's what you get ready. You can ask for forgiveness of sin. And I'm faithful and just, and I'll give you that forgiveness of sin. And your sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. I'll do that for you. But understand this. My love doesn't overlook sin. My love helps you to have forgiveness of sin, remission of sin. That's what my love is. But don't get the idea that my love does those things. That's why people are confused. But that's why I really want them to remember the first part of that. To me, I love the idea. I love the idea that no matter what I've done in this world, how low I have sunk, how far I may have drifted from the Lord, my God still loves me. Unconditional. Take his name in vain. There's Peter. Starts cursing. I don't know the man. Denies the Lord 3 times. Anybody that we can read in the Scripture, there's Judas, comes up and betrays the Lord. God loves him. Those people in
Sodom and Gomorrah, crying at Lot's house, give us him. Let that man out here. We want our way with him. We want our way with him. Can you imagine how disgusting that is? God loves them. God loves them. I don't care what your life is. I don't care what sins are in your life. You need to remember the fact that God cares for you. He loves you. But love doesn't remove sin. Love doesn't overlook sin. And turn to Matthew 19. Here's something else. That no wonder people are confused in the religious realm. I would be too if I'm hearing people get up and preach certain things, or people who claim to be Christians and say, oh, but this is okay. And they're scratching their head. Well, because God loves me. The third thing is, love doesn't make sin lawful. Doesn't remove sin. Doesn't make sin lawful. How do I know? Matthew 19 now. Look at verse 8. Take a comment. Well, we're going to get context with the back of verse 7. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So you've been married and divorced for unscriptural reasons. Oh no! God loves me. Now it's okay. The marriage is okay. Oh, I see. So the love of God changes sin into now something that is lawful. It's not adultery anymore. It's a wonderful marriage. It's lawful in the eyes of God. And I told you a few weeks ago that I had somebody come up, or somebody called me and wanted to discuss this subject. But they wanted to talk about a man marrying a man. And I said, yes, in Romans chapter 1, that's a terrible thing. But I said, it's just as wrong when you have a man marry a woman. Huh? Yeah, if it's unscriptural. Well, I know God looks at me, and I know that God loves me. Don't question. You can be married 27 times. God loves you. You can be a wife beater. God loves you. You can be a husband beater. God loves you. You can commit child abuse. And God loves you. But don't ever think for one moment that the love of God is going to overlook you. Don't ever think for a moment that God is going to change anything that is sinful in his eyes and turn it into something that is now lawful. Well, see, this is kind of like why children grow up with false expectations, because they have been raised by parents that have taught their children that love allows them to get away with things. When they do something wrong and they bail them out, they never hold them accountable. I was recently told where here's a member of the church that has somebody's son caught up in drugs, repeatedly had drug problems, repeatedly, causing problems in the home, hitting his wife, just a lot of bad things going on, get into a place of drug rehabilitation. So he goes, after day one. Dad, don't get me. I don't like it here. He goes and gets him. Brings him home. And then they wonder why, when you're in the church, that they think, well, I think God is going to overlook, or I think God is going to make this lawful in his eyes. I think he thinks I'm a faithful child of God. Why? Because they were raised that way in their own family. Because they see mom and dad. Dad loves me unconditional, which means he bails me out all the time. Does everything for me. Never holds me accountable. Never says, you got to do this or you're going to be punished. Never does that. I don't want that Christian mindset. And I don't want that. But I see what's going on in the religious realm. People are so confused, and people are even turned off religious, and I'm on their side. I'm on their up on the pulpit and says, well, God loves you, okay, but it doesn't mean these things. You better make that perfectly clear, or it's going to cause so much confusion in the minds of people. You're going to have people do this and do that, and not, there's no consistency that is found. What else? Love doesn't eliminate bad things from happening. This is huge. I want to camp here. You realize the sermon really evolved around this point. This really did. I wrote this point down. And it kind of evolved from there. And I'm thinking, you know, because this is the Joel Osteen. These are the people on the preacher. These are the guys on TV and the radio. And they're trying to tell people, look, if the love of God is with you, you're gonna get the promotion. You're gonna get the woman. You're gonna get the guy. Your life is gonna be good. Everything's gonna be wonderful. You're gonna just all those problems that you have. Because if you serve God and God approves of you and God loves you, it's going to eliminate bad things. It's no wonder people are fed up. They're sitting in the audience saying, oh no, I guess I don't have the love of God because bad things are happening to me. No, you've got the love of God. It's always been there. The worst time in your life, you could lose your job. You could lose a friend. You could just have terrible things. Bad things happen to you. Don't ever think that God's love is gone. That's the whole point of Matthew chapter 5. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. And so bad things can happen to good people. Why? Well, that doesn't happen, does it? Yeah, bad things happen to good people. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11? It's only from the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And I did that so much last week, they didn't get me ready. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11. Actually, I do have 2 Corinthians 11 in my glass. I'm not going to blame me. Verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Oh, I did the business. I speak as a fool? I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all churches. Whoa, Paul, you're a sinner. This didn't come upon him because God doesn't love him. God still loves him. Bad people do things to people. I can't believe that co-worker stepped all over me to get that promotion that I was in line for. Bad people do bad things. Why not? God loves me. Yeah, he does. Unconditional. And that's good because that helps us when we go to God in prayer. Lately, been under a lot of stress. And when I put this, thinking about this particular point, it helps me realize that whatever situation I'm in this world, I know my Heavenly Father absolutely cares. And your situation too. Absolutely cares. He loves you. You can't even begin to grasp how much love that is. You can't even put it into an example that we have today. What demonstrated that somebody loved you so much? I just couldn't believe they did that. You know, people talk about, oh man, I can't believe what my husband did for me, and how he proposed to me, and all the things he had to set up, and it was on the big screen there at the sporting event. There was just a lot of preparation put into that. Yeah. God's preparation before the foundation. we do, because we have people come across and they say, look, if you just serve God, he's going to shower you with blessings, and it's going to show you that he loves you. You can turn over to Luke chapter 16, you can see a poor beggar that just wanted the crumbs to fall from the rich man's table. God loved him. Loved so much that he sent his son to die for him. Oh no, Chuck, you got that wrong. It was before the law of the gospel. Hebrews 7, we're studying on Wednesday. The blood flowed both ways. Without Jesus, nobody gets to go to heaven. God loved that poor man. Yes, he loved that rich man. But we see the result of that. We see what happened. So bad things can happen. And so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell people, hey, you become a Christian today, this will increase. Good effort, Brian. Well, why would I want to become a Christian? To have a hope of heaven. To have your sin forgiven. To have all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. Well, I've got a lot of blessings. Oh, yeah. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. You're not in Christ according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. You are enjoying. Here's how many spiritual blessings you are outside of Christ. Zero. Not one. Oh, Chuck, that's not true. I've got a wonderful blessing. No. That's not spiritual. That's the rain fall. I got a wonderful job. My health is great. Physical, physical. Keep going. Well, I got a... You're not going to come up with anything in the spirit. Only physical. But all the spiritual blessings, he says, he uses that word all there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All the spiritual blessings are found in Christ. So yes, our God will love you. Right up to the very end. Last point, lesson 4. Love never removes the demands and expectations the Father has for us. You see, it doesn't work both ways. Say, what do you mean? Turn to John. Turn to John chapter 14. Listen to this. In John chapter 14 and in verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can't reverse that, folks. You can't turn to Jesus and say, if you love me, you keep my commandments. People are doing that. If you love me, then you accept whatever I say. I'm making the rule. You can't do that. But you can't question the love of God. You can't question the love of his son as he's hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You can't question that. And yet there will be people who will. But when I think about this, our God expects and demands you and I simply to obey him. Now see, this is why we have a God who's faithful and just to forgive us. You know what? Think about this. Before I'm a Christian, there's the water to baptism. Okay? Right there. Over here, he sent his son to die for me while we were yet sinners. He loves me over here. He loves me so much. He wants me to go to heaven. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And so I learn about that love and I understand that I have to obey him, so I become a Christian. I'm over here. Does he love me more? Does he love me more? But the point is, over here, I'm in a right relationship with him. Now I get to go to heaven. But see, over here, here's the key. This is the point. Over here, I can have the remission of sin. Why? Because of his great love. Over here, I can have forgiveness, as you read earlier, in 1 John. He's faithful just to forgive us of our sins. The person says, I don't know, Chuck, if I can become a Christian and be the kind of person that God expects me to be. Well, yeah, but I might come up short. You don't say the word might, you will. You're not perfect. But God understand what it is and what it isn't. It clears up confusion. It helps me not getting frustrated when I'm over here if I have some hard time. Doesn't mean he doesn't love me. That's comfort. What about you today? I'm not asking you, does God love you? Because he does. But I'm asking you, are you here or are you over here? Now you can stay over here and you can leave here this morning and I can say, God love you. But I am not saying he's overlooking sin. That remission of sin is by him loving. Turning sin into law. He holds us accountable. 2 Corinthians 5:10, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all give an account. Remember the next verse? Therefore, not only knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, he's a God of love. Yes, he is. He's a God of love. The kids growing up knew I was the dad of the jokester dad. But something wrong. The wrath. So it's not inconsistent. Say, God loves you. Make it right. Well, I wish this one of those lessons. Keith, we might even today clear up the misconception of the love of God on the earth. I think we might even do that. What it is, what it is. Because I'll tell you, in the religious realm, a lot of people have false hope because of that. Let us not have a false hope. Let us make sure that we're on the straight and narrow. Will you receive God's love? Well, I already get it, John. Well, I know that. But will you be the recipient of the fact that he sent his son and made it possible for you to get to the Will you obey? If you're not a Christian, be something. Today we'll sit down, we'll look at the past, make sure you understand your child of God has gone wayward. Yes. You ready to receive? You have to do love. You're such. Anyway, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
All the promises guideth the word. Heareth our living message man ever heard. Pure was the blood of Christ in the Christ seat. He the great example is empowered.
there any other announcements that we need to be made at this time? Again, we want to remember everyone else that is out of town, especially if that's coming back. If there's no other announcements, then we'll be dismissed.
Thanks, Mike. Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for this Lord's Day morning. You've given us here to come together and worship you and sing praises unto thy name. We're thankful for each and every one of us who come here this morning. We pray that you'll watch over us as we travel home, allow us a safe journey home, allow us a safe journey here this afternoon so we can come to you and see the fellow Christians. Father, we pray with those for our number that are on the road to travel. Pray that you'll watch over them. Them a safe journey to the destination back home. We pray for those that are mentioned that are struggling with health issues. Pray that you be with Sister Bates. She's struggling with her cancer. Pray with anyone here this day knows those that are sick. Pray that you'll watch over them. Be thy will that you'll turn them back to the proper portion of hell. Be with us here at this place. Pray for the work that is being done here. Pray for the elders that are overseeing the decisions that are made. Pray that much good will continue to come from the work that is being done here, that we'll be a shining light in